When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and live to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
And welcome to a live edition of Flagrant Howls here on the Score North YouTube channel. Phil Mackey with my guy Artis Woods, who you see the last few months on the Score North YouTube channel with his Wolves takes. You can find him on the Taxi Squad podcast. And Artis, the Timberwolves have taken game one over the Denver Nuggets, 106-99, another absolutely electrifying performance by Anthony Edwards. 43 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, was just an absolute master throughout his 42 minutes in this game. And I want to throw this out here to the audience. We can turn this into kind of a partial Wolves vent line here. I'm going to try and produce this on the fly. So if I crash the plane, I apologize. But send us an email to VikingsVentline@gmail.com if you want to jump in and give your thoughts on the Wolves taking a 1-0 lead over the Nuggets. VikingsVentline@gmail.com. We'll send out, I don't know, a handful of links to those of you who request, and we'll try to mix in some reaction from fans. But I watched the first three quarters over at Park Tavern in St. Louis Park, where there was a big Wolves gathering. And it was just a wild, amazing environment. What do you think, man? 106-99, Wolves up 1-0 over the Nuggets. They steal one on the road here to start this series, my friend.
That's the goal. That's the goal, to get one on the road. I mean, I saw this coming, though, Phil. I saw this coming. The Wolves are not the Lakers. You know, the defense is a lot better. The stars close a lot better. This game, I think, was just about the stars, honestly. You know, Anthony Edwards, Naz Reid, and Karl-Anthony Towns, and different parts of the game just stepped up and played big. And throughout the entire game, balled out, honestly. But to start the game, everybody else was kind of cold. Nobody could really get it going. He kind of carried the weight in the first half. The third quarter, arguably the most important quarter of the entire of the series, because the Nuggets play so well in the third, but so do the Wolves. Cat comes out, 9 straight buckets, yes. Around 12 straight buckets, and kind of, you know, keeps momentum in the favor of the Wolves. And then Naz Reid in the fourth. I was waiting on this, Phil. I was waiting on this.
Naz was kind of a disaster in the first half.
He was.
And he made up for it.
He did. It started that bank shot. That bank shot was like, okay, I'm getting something to fall. Got an and one in there. He kind of took over in the fourth. And then again, Ant just went nuclear again. We could make this whole episode about Ant if we really wanted to, but this was just a total effort by the stars. You know, other guys, they played decent defensively, but this was about Cat, Ant, and Oz.
By the way, I'm just, man, people are just hammering the Ventline email address. So we will get some of you guys on here. But William, who I'm sending the link to you right now, William. The last time a men's Minnesota sports team won 5 in a row in the playoffs was the 1991 Twins.
So They're hot right now.
The first 5-game winning streak in 3.5 decades. And I'm going to send this last one out here. So we got it. We got a few people jumping in, but. So, like you said, we could do the whole show about Anthony Edwards. I think there's a bunch of things to touch on, and I don't want to discredit anyone because there was a lot of great, almost like hidden performances throughout this game. But let's focus on Anthony Edwards for a second, because he is becoming one of the absolute forces in the NBA in front of our eyes. Yeah. The way that he elevates his performance in the postseason, and he's already a really good player, like a top 15-ish player, regular season performer, but he takes it up to a completely different level each of the last 3 years, and you're literally seeing just an automatic 30 to 40 point scorer efficiently too. I mean, he scored 43 points, Artis, on 17 of 29 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3-point range. And I don't know about you, but like when I watch him, at no point do I feel like he's forcing his offense out of the context of the game. It feels like he's probing, looking for the right pass, and then he knows that there's certain points of the game where he just has to hit the gas pedal and take it over, whether it's the mid-range game or getting to the rack. It's just like it's like watching a 29-year-old superstar player who's been doing this. Kobe Bryant played 250 playoff games or whatever. Anthony Edwards is just kind of figuring this out for the first time, and he looks like the most poised, dominant player on the court against the best team and maybe the best player in the world, Nikola Jokic. It is incredible to watch, dude.
He's doing a great job of just picking his spots. He knows when to take over and when to be passive. And I think he's taking what the defense is giving him. Remember last series, you know, the Suns were loading up on him, so he was passive at times. He was trying to get his teammates involved. But here on the road, it was a lot of ISO, one-on-one defense. And there's no matchup that the Nuggets can present that he doesn't think he can take unless it's a double or triple team. Anytime he has that one-on-one matchup, no matter who it is, Aaron Gordon is probably their best overall defender, in my opinion. But even Aaron Gordon, who I thought would be kind of like their chess piece defensively, even Aaron Gordon was getting torched here and there. You know, so it's just like
Gordon was a minus 23 in this game. He did get under Cat's skin a couple times. He got real physical with Cat, but like he was a minus 23 in this game.
Yeah. And like I said, I think he's their best defender. He's a guy that they move around to slow people down, and it didn't work. I just think him taking over the way he did, and then Jamal Murray not having the greatest game. I know he's dealing with a bit of an injury from last series as well, but I thought the defense on both sides of the ball, him dominating offensively, Anthony Edwards, and then defensively taking the assignment of Jamal Murray was huge as well. Jamal really didn't have legs the entire fourth, it seemed like. He got a couple buckets here and there, but and on both sides. And Jaden as well. Jaden as well defensively. It's looking ugly, Phil. It's looking ugly.
Do you think, okay, all right. Hot take. The Timberwolves are now 9-8 in the last 17 games against the Nuggets. They've played the Nuggets tougher in the regular season and the postseason than pretty much any team in the last couple years. I don't think the Nuggets wanted this smoke. I think they would, if you would have asked them, like, which team off the record, no one has to hear you say this, but like in private, which team would you prefer to avoid in the playoffs? I think they would have said the Timberwolves.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but is this like a Wolves in five kind of like, they just stole the first game in Denver. They haven't even gotten the home court crowd energy. And by the way, for like, you know, let me go on a side tangent here too. So obviously Jamal Murray, like no points in the first quarter. He's not himself physically, but B also like it's hard to navigate when Anthony Edwards is blanketing you. And, you know, it was mostly Ant in the first half, but whether it's Nikhil or Jaden, it is not easy. Jamal Murray is going to have to hit a lot of the classic Jamal Murray fadeaway sort of bending jumpers to get his 25 or 30. So I guess on one hand, you could say, well, I mean, Jamal Murray is going to have more than six made shots going forward in the series. But I would argue, yeah, but he's going to have to work for it in every game. But you could also say on the flip side, nobody for the Wolves even showed up offensively until like halfway through the third quarter besides Anthony Edwards.
Right.
And you know, in those Suns games, the Wolves' smothering defense is something that translates and travels across all time zones, every single game. You're not going to get away from that defense. If the Wolves came out tonight and they shot, you know, 11 for 27 from three, which is a good percentage. Like if the Wolves came out and were like 20 of 39 from 3-point range, if you're the Nuggets, you could say, well, that's not going to happen again. But again, like I said this during the Suns series, what can the Suns say when they go back to their locker room? Are they going to say, well, the Wolves aren't going to play smothering defense like that again in the series? No, they are going to play smothering defense. Well, Anthony Edwards isn't going to go off for like 30 or 40 points. I mean, he has so far all the time and against the Nuggets last year. So I don't want to get like too homerish, but that was a great win and great signs for some repeatable things in that win as you look forward in this series, I guess.
Bruce Brown said it this past offseason that the Wolves were their toughest matchup come postseason. And, you know, even though the series didn't end up that way because the Suns got two wins, you could see it in the matchup because the last game of the series was very close. Every game was, for the most part, pretty close throughout. And so the length, the defense really bothers them. The quickness, the agility, the way they're able to jump passing lanes. They scored 99 points today. 99 at home, right? And I think that they have figured out what I've been saying for a while now about the Nuggets. You cannot double-team Jokic, especially from the strong side. Now, if you bring it, I liked at times they brought it from the weak side. They moved the other big. They moved like Cat will be there, and then, you know, blind side, here comes Rudy. Okay, I like that double-team, right? But the Lakers are doing things like bringing double-teams from the strong side, leaving shooters open. The Wolves have figured out, in most cases, there's no need to double. Just stay home on Jokic. If he gets a bucket, he gets a bucket. But just limit the threes. Limit,
yes,
you know, Jamal going off for three. Limit KCP, who only had 6 points today. Limit guys like Michael Porter Jr., who still played well, but he took some tough shots. You know, he's going to make – Michael Porter Jr. is elite. He's nice. But you played great defense on him is what I'm saying. You didn't give him wide open looks. So I think they figured that out, and it's making it tough. It's making it tough.
It's a little bit – I know they're like the Suns and the Nuggets are two totally different rosters and makeups, but it's a little bit of the same philosophy where the Wolves went into the Suns series and said, listen, like, we're not going to double KD. Cat, put your 7 foot wingspan, just make it as hard as you can, but we're going to stay home on shooters so that we don't get put in the spin cycle every other possession. And you're right. Like, it feels like some of the time when the Wolves do have a hard time with the Nuggets, I mean, Jokic obviously is a huge factor in every Nuggets game, but it does kind of feel like, to your point, it's when Michael Porter Jr. hits six threes and he hit four tonight. So it wasn't like you bottled him up. You know, he still scored 20 points and it was 4 or 7 for 3, but it oftentimes feels like, you know, it's KCP and Michael Porter Jr. who go off for a combined 10 threes or something. Mm-hmm. And now you're chasing all these role players around. So, yeah, some other notes here before we're going to turn it over. We got a full green room here of Wolves fans that we're going to let chime in. A couple of things. If you're new to Flagrant Howls, welcome in, strap in. The Wolves look like they might be playing for another month here. So it's only one game. But this has been a wild ride. Click that like button and the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel. Also, we just launched a couple new Flagrant Howls-centric t-shirt designs this week in the Score North shop, our Wolves culture and our Break Every Record designs. There's a QR code on the YouTube channel. You can also just go to scorenorth.com/shop. That's scorenorth.com/shop. Karl Anthony Towns picked up the 2 fouls in the fourth quarter, which was not ideal, but then Naz Reid winds up taking over for a few minutes. I thought Karl, when he wasn't sitting on the bench in foul trouble, was really effective for the most part in this game. He got pushed around a little bit early by Aaron Gordon, but efficient offensively. You know, he was making some really nice passes, I felt like, especially in the first half. There was a couple really nice passes to Rudy Gobert. Mike Conley was a team high plus 20 in this game. In 31 minutes, dished out 10 assists. And even though it was a really rough start for Naz Reid with, he had a bad turnover in there. He stepped out of bounds at one point in the third quarter on a swing pass to the corner. He winds up with 16 points on 11 shot attempts and really like created some separation, putting the Wolves up by like, I think it was 8 points when he checked out of the game. So any just like quick final thoughts from you before we pause our discussion and get to some Wolves vent line here, Artis?
I do want to say I like the Wolves in five idea. I don't know if I want to step out there yet. Dude, I'm still saying Wolves in six just out of respect, but it's looking like that could happen. I also do want to point out, though, Cat's defense on Jokic was pretty good at times too. I don't know if you continue to go to that matchup, though, because the foul trouble is going to come dealing with Jokic down there. But every now and then, I do like that matchup. Surprisingly, I didn't think I would. But he played better defensively at times on Jokic than Rudy even did at times.
I think what's annoying, I don't know, I hate to like make these podcasts about the officials, but first of all, the technical foul on Anthony Edwards, get the bleep out of here with that. It's the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's intense. I don't think he said anything. I think he just was staring.
Just gave him a look. Yeah. That was it.
Like, just you got to calm down, refs. There's 18,000 people in the arena, millions watching at home. None of them are watching for your foul calls. So that was annoying. It's also just like every game you watch Jokic absolutely pound his way in the paint and use his elbow. And then if you give him a little bit of shoulder back and a little bit of resistance, boom, like he's shooting free throws. So I get it. Like, he's Jokic. He's a star. And he's brilliant at just initiating that contact. But come on, like, there was a couple really questionable where he's just like bulldozing his way in the paint. So, and Chris Finch found a way to sit right next to the scores table. Mike Anori was sort of the lead voice on the sidelines with Chris Finch, Mission Impossible style, with some words of advice from the back. So he's Artis Woods. I'm Phil Mackey. And let's turn it over here to Wolves Vent Line. Let's start with Jake. What's going on, dude?
You guys hear me all right?
Yep.
Yeah, we got you, man.
I just want to touch on like the technical thing you talked about. So let me get this straight. It's not okay to like stare at someone, but Jamal Murray can shoot guns at Karl Anthony Towns. Like, what is that?
Dude, and by the way, neither one of those should be technical. Just it's the playoffs. Let guys shoot finger guns, let guys stare people down, right?
Yeah, and I just want to like give a shout out just to like the defense overall, like even when we're not hitting shots, just to be able to throw different bodies at Jokic. I know you touched on how like Karl Anthony Towns played some solid defense, but even like Naz Reid got like a steal, caused a turnover to travel, and just kind of Rudy at the end was able to hold his own. So I think just kind of throwing different bodies at him will be the key to the series. And eventually, like, shout out to Anthony Edwards, because without him in the first half, we're probably down by like 30 the way we were shooting. But just felt great to get that good win, especially here in Boston. I can't celebrate much of this, so it was great.
Wow. Well, dude, I don't want to look too far ahead, but...
trust me, it could be fun
for you out there in a few weeks.
I'm gonna be going, if I'll go to a game and maybe get beaten up, but I'll be supporting
it'll, it'll be worth it.
Yeah, it will be.
When they win, it is worth it.
Oh yeah, gosh, be awesome, nice.
Man, Jake, thanks for joining Wolves Ventline here on Flagrant Howls.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's go to Dylan. You're up next.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
What's
good
up, dude?
How you doing, man?
So, Phil, you always do the pile chart of praise on Flagger House and other Score North, but I had idea tonight.
How you feel about pie.
We do a pie chart of growth.
Okay. You have it for us?
So, it's two whole pies because it's two people, or the team and a person.
Okay.
I want to give one pie to Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Because there is moments in this series and it in the last series too, where if Conley isn't doing anything, Mike or Ant is like calling over the team, like come here, like calm down. They had the inside track or whatever on TNT, and you just hear Ant just calming everyone down. And my second pie goes to the entire Timberwolves team, because throughout that game, you have all those horrible calls, like absolutely horrible calls. And somehow we stayed in it calm. We're down by 2.5,
yes,
4 at one point. And at the very end of the game, Naz Reid and Anthony Edwards just completely take over.
So to your point, I'm so glad you brought up the wave of officiating maybe going against you. And so you take the 18-4 lead, you blow the lead pretty much immediately. The officials, I'm sure Denver fans would maybe see it from a different standpoint, but it felt like just like with the technical and some of the ticky tack stuff, it could be perceived as you blew a huge lead. You are on the road, sort of a hostile environment, but I don't know. It's Denver. And all these things are going against you. And we saw it 2 years ago in Memphis when things, oh my God, we're up by 26. Now it's 15. Now it's, Avalanche. This team doesn't give in to the negative waves. By the way, the inevitable runs that the opposing teams make, the inevitable bad calls. And we've talked about this so many times on Flagrant Howls, on the other podcast. You have to sort of build into your team algorithm that a certain percentage of every single game is going to involve bad calls against you, the other team making a run, the opposing environment maybe being hostile or whatever it is, you're not making shots. Build it into your algorithm, because it's going to happen almost every single night, and just find a way to overcome it. And this year's team has found a way to overcome those negative waves on a regular basis. They've against been Phoenix and now against Denver.
They've been resilient all year, literally all year. Even losing Cat for a period of time, they still managed to win a bunch of games. At the end of the day, they can always count on the defense. That is the anchor. So even if a team is going on runs and you're missing shots, you can always go back to the huddle and say, okay, we're going to get some turnovers. We're going to jump some passing lanes. we're gonna, you know, force, you know, we're gonna force some turnovers and get some buckets. And so you can always sway momentum back in your favor at any point, so long as the defense stays the same. So many times offensively a team will struggle and they'll, you know, heads will drop and momentum will shift and you can just feel that. But the Wolves always stay engaged defensively. As long as they keep doing that, then they'll never be out of a game.
Yeah. I mean, Nas at the end there taking over for Cat. Huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think if we have to add a shirt to the Flagrant House shop, we have to add a Minnesota Mike for president.
Oh, I like that idea. I like that idea, man. Just the man, just the calming the calming presence that this country needs. The Timberwolves already have it. Yeah. The country needs the mature, calming presence of Mike Conley, man. Hey, Dylan, thanks for coming on Wolves Ventland here, man. Let's keep it rocking here. Let's go to Southeast Wisconsin. Bill in the house. You're on Flagrant House. We got you, man.
Sent in that this is the first time that a Minnesota sports team has won five games in a row since the 91 Twins. And I'll tell you what, the other team that won five games is the 49 Lakers. So I'm, Minneapolis Lakers. I'm a human Wikipedia, so you'll have to have your crack Score North producers look into this.
You're hired. But
when they win on Monday night, they're going to go after the 91 or that 1981 North Stars. They won six in a row between two series, so they're going to be there. But I was just absolutely happy. You know, I've watched Ant develop over the years, and it's been amazing how quickly he matures. The hero ball thing, you know, I wasn't even worried about coming. And occasionally he'd try to take a tough shot tonight. But after the technical foul, I sat back. I'm like, ooh, is this going to set him back? But not. It just set him on fire. He is so mature for a player that young. You've already talked about how much he's moved up the ranks in the top players of the NBA. I think he's top five right now, and he's going to be, I can't imagine a scenario where he's not going to match the expectations that everybody's talking about with Kobe and Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's, dude, it is some great points. Bill, you're hired as our new historical statistician, man. Thank you for coming on Wolves Ventline here. Let me throw this at you because I felt uncomfortable during the season. This is the first season where some national talking heads started comparing Anthony Edwards' game to Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. I don't know if it was like December, January. Like Chris Broussard went on his Fox Sports 1 TV show and he said, "Hey, I called Michael Jordan." This is like, I don't know, back in like February or something. Right. And I asked him about the comparisons, and Michael said, yeah, I can see some similarities. And, like, those comparisons have made me largely uncomfortable until these playoffs. And it's the little fadeaway mid-range. It's that look in his eye. It's the ability to just overcome and dominate opponents that were perceived to be higher up on the NBA's player pecking order than you going into those series. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and tonight Nikola Jokic. And, I mean, the more he stacks up these incredible, versatile 30, 40-point games against some of the greatest players of all time, Kevin Durant, Nikola Jokic, I mean, it still makes me a little uncomfortable to put that pressure on someone and say, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, but he's got that look in his eye, man. Every one of these, he's got the game and the look in his eye that reminds you of both those guys.
I was just going to say, the skill is there, right? The skill is there. You know, you can go to breaking down every move, the crossovers, the fadeaways, the bank shots, the three-point shots, three-level score. We know this. It's the attitude, though. It's the attitude. It's the picking the right spots. It's the trash talk. Like, that's – I think people see the skill, but I think more importantly, people just see he wants it. He wants it. And every night, like you said, I'm going out to kill every night. Whatever is in front of me, I'm going out to kill. So I think that is what reminds you of a Kobe and an MJ. And I agree. At first, I was like, all right, y'all, let's win a couple playoff games. Let's get out of the first round. But you just swept KD. You just swept Kevin Durant, your childhood, you know, idol. So at the end of the day, now you're in the second round and you just won against Denver. I'm not going to shoot that down. And what I was going to say before you said something, and this might be a really bold take, but I'm going to say it. It's how I feel. I believe that by the end of this postseason, he's going to have a legitimate argument for best player in the league.
Oh, man. Artist.
I think by the end of this, by the end of this season.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I can see it by the end of this year. Because if you take out Denver, and you get to a finals or you get to a Western Conference finals, it's not going to be a lot of players that people are going to pinpoint and be like, oh, he's better than Ant. Like,
yeah, well, dude, we've kind of gone through the exercise. Like, Jokic, I'm still going to put Jokic as the king of the mountain, but there's fewer than a handful of players that you would, if you took playoff version of Anthony Edwards, there's like maybe Jokic. I don't know that there's another player that you would say you would take over playoff. And by the way, I think I'm with you. If they close out the Nuggets and he keeps playing like this, we have to have a discussion about his acceleration into best player in the NBA. I know it sounds insane because he was not regarded that way 2 months ago, but we're seeing a guy who's just like processing as fast as you've ever seen a young player process. Let's keep Wolves Vent Line going here. Let's go to Kyle out on the West Coast. Oh,
hey.
Hi, Kyle. Tigey.
Good evening, Denver. Artist, keep telling him. I was my first thing, too, is that there was a lot of takes in the first quarter, first half. I mean, obviously, the Wolves came out big, up 12-2. Ant was cooking. But in that second quarter, when the Nuggets kind of regained momentum, just a lot of best player on the court, Nikola Jokic. This ain't Phoenix. There's no need to tweet during the game. Phil, we've gone over this. Okay.
By the way, I'm telling you.
Hey, I know.
How many times did I tweet during that game tonight?
You're learning.
I was about to rifle some off after the 18-4 start, but I started texting Kyle instead.
There's no need to feel yourself 24 minutes in the game. This is the most ethical basketball series we can have. I have no ill will towards the opponent, but you don't got to fire off those tweets that this isn't Phoenix because this isn't Los Angeles. These are not the Lakers. This team has a spine. They're well coached. They have a heart, and they have a lot of depth. And you saw it in the second half. Nas was, again, I'm just jumping in here. I have no idea what I missed. My apologies. But Nas Reed was awesome in the second half. That was Nas hasn't really showed up through the first 4.5 games of the playoffs. They probably win that game simply because of Nas. Ant was great, 43 points, 7 for 29. But Nas Reed, to me, was my X factor going into this. I kind of said that to you, Phil, earlier in the week. He was the second best player on the court today, and I thought Rudy was also pretty good.
Dude, Rudy was clamping on the perimeter again.
Yeah,
he was like, who was it Porter Jr.? He had a perimeter, just like a 15-second clamps on the perimeter, and I can't remember if it was Porter Jr. or if it was KCP.
I think it was APJ. To start the game, right?
Yeah, it was first Porter. Half. Yeah, it was first half.
Porter. Yeah, it was definitely MPJ.
Gobert's play of the game was, he got in like a pick and roll. He's defending Jokic. He's trying to drop. Jokic tries to throw that lob to Gordon, cutting on the baseline. Rudy comes back, deflects it, leads to a transition three. It's kind of ball game. But, man, we've talked about this. Artists talked about this. Phil, you, me, Great Ape, you know, everyone, that they just have a lot of different weapons to throw. Like, Jaden was, I thought, defensively pretty good. 8 rebounds tonight. Didn't score. Didn't need him. Right? Nikhil, not a great game. Just all around, they just throw more and more things at you, and it's really hard for your opponent to adjust.
Yeah.
And speaking of Rudy, the switching is going to be important. It's going to be important throughout the series. That's the one fear I had. I'm like, okay, watching the last series, you know, Jamal kind of had his way with AD on switches. I mean, had his way. So I was like, okay, Rudy has done a really good job with switching off on guards all season and in the first round, really elite at it. So if we can continue it in this round, when they run that 1-5, you know, pick and pop or pick and roll action, and he switched out on Murray and he can slow that down, Denver will be in trouble because that's their go-to. That is their go-to. If you can slow that down, then they are beat. They are beat. It's just really hard to slow down on a consistent basis.
Kyle, just we did, I don't know, probably 10 minutes on Anthony Edwards, but I think we could do 10 days on Anthony Edwards and people wouldn't get sick of talking about it. And by the way, we'll get to our guy Ben. We'll get to Michael here on Flagrant Howell's impromptu Wolves vent line. But, I mean, we're sitting here having a conversation about this playoff version of Anthony Edwards being the best player, period, in the NBA. And I know that that's absurd to say when Nikola Jokic is, you know, staring down the barrel of 3 MVPs and coming off a title, and I get how absurd it sounds. But, like, how do you put into context the version of Anthony Edwards that we're seeing emerge in that Phoenix series and in game one against the Nuggets tonight?
Pretty simply, Anthony Edwards has joined Kobe Bryant as the only players in NBA history with consecutive 40-point games at age 22 or younger.
Yeah.
His defining shot of this game was Kobe-esque. Artists, you remember, he winds the shot clock down. He's telling guys, get out of the way. Mm-hmm. It's on, like, closest to the bench. And you knew it. You watch enough Ant. You've watched him for 4 years. He just backs him down, and then you know he's going to spin right, little fadeaway. And, yeah, for 48 minutes, again, there's no reason to get ahead of yourselves. I think that's a popular thing for the Denver media. But for 48 minutes, he was the best player on the court. And what we said for the Phoenix series against Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, if he's the best player in that series, the Wolves are going to win. If he's the best player in this series, the Wolves are going to win. And yeah, Everything else is kind of whatever. So one game, they did steal home court. Remember we spent 82 games freaking out about that? And they choked down the end of the marathon. And like, oh, they're not going to have home court against Denver. Well, that's done.
They got it back.
Yeah. Right? The Nuggets have kind of got to steal one back, because for all the pressure and all the stuff they've talked about, Phil and Artis, Denver's biggest game of maybe this franchise's, this core, is on Monday. Because you don't win that one,
it's over.
It's going to be
hard to say it, not me.
It's going to be real tough, man. And then the sequence, too, I don't think we've even brought this up, but maybe the most electric sequence of the game was Michael Porter Jr. going up for, I don't know if it would have been a dunk, but it was like him going up for a little bunny at the rim, and Anthony Edwards skies up, absolutely stuffs the rejection, transition the other way, and Karl Anthony Towns, 7-footer on the run, goes up and throws it down for the and one. I mean, that was like, and the Wolves needed that, because I think they were down. They had given up a run. They were down by like 4 or 5 points at that point. And just like, it's not just a block and a layup. It's the way that Anthony Edwards sparks energy in the team. And it just like it, when he blocks a shot like that and turns it around in transition, you feel like everything's going to be okay because you have Anthony Edwards on your team. As opposed to like just any other block in a basketball game.
I'm curious, Artis, do you notice, you've watched him now all 4 years, you've watched every game. My favorite thing about him, and I've never asked you this, he's just not smiling as much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know that's not a stat on Basketball Reference, but like he looks like a guy who shows up to a blue collar job ready to work. Like it's all business for him. You said it before I hopped on, like he literally does want to kill people. On the court, like he has that killer mentality, and that's that Kobe, that's that MJ.
He's locked in. He understands the goal. Like this team, right, they haven't got out in the first round in a while. They also haven't been a top three seed in a while. So, you know, he hears the comparisons. He hears the comparisons to Kobe and MJ, and he wants to live up to that. Like, we are kind of like, let's not put that much pressure on him. He's like, man, if he said it, I'm with it. You know, KG came out and said it. He's like, hey, KG said it, you know, and he's right. They asked him, you know, who's the best couple players in the league? Yeah, it's me, Luka, and Shea, and I'm the best. Like, you know, he does not shy away from that at all, and he's out to prove it every single night on both sides. And you can't say that about everybody. You cannot say that about every player in the league. So he understands that this team has the ability to win a championship if he's playing at this level. He knows that. So the goal is to win a championship at this point. Let's get it done.
Yeah. By the way, this is Flagrant Howls, Wolves Vent Line Edition. If you're joining us live here on the Score North YouTube channel, thank you. We all need a cigarette after what we just watched in game one. It's Phil Mackey, our guy Kyle Tighe, Artis Woods in the house. And I think we have a couple guys here in the green room. I don't see his camera on, but let's go to Michael. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. We can't see you, but that's okay. What'd you see tonight?
Oh, man. I just want to start off by saying, what a time to be a Minnesota sports fan. I mean, we got things like the Lynx winning preseason.
We got Lynx preseason?
The Bleak preseason. We got the Twins on a 12-game win streak. The Vikings with a possible chance to have an actual quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. Who knows? Oh, man. But I just got two takes from the game. How big is Mike Conley been for this Timberwolves team, man? I watched about 60 games of the 80 games that they played this year, and it seems like every time a team goes on a run, Mike Conley is doing everything that he can to keep the Timberwolves in the game. He's hitting threes. Yeah. He's setting up the offense. That guy is so underrated. I'm so happy that he's in Minnesota right now, because think about it. When we had D'Lo, D'Lo doesn't play defense. D'Lo's not going to take charges. D'Lo's not going to do a lot of things. And, you know, he's kind of like a baby. But with Uncle Mike in the room, everything is calm. Everybody, you know, gathers around him. It's just he keeps everything cool, man. And the second thing, I'm doing a hot take. I'm saying Wolves in four, man. Oh. I am not scared. I am not scared of a Denver team with a Jamal Murray who is not 100%. and has Jaden McDaniels guarding him throughout the game. And it's just I just don't see how, unless Jokic puts up 50 a game against Minnesota against the number one defense, how this team is going to beat Minnesota. I really don't. I'm calling it though.
Dude, Michael's coming in hot. Great stuff, Michael. Thanks for joining us here tonight.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Wolves
in
four. Let me.
Phil, you're going to love this because you love Charles Barkley. So TNT post game, they're doing the show, and Charles is just drooling over Anthony Edwards. But Charles said on Anthony Edwards, as we say where I grew up, you see him fighting a bear, you help the bear.
Yes.
At this point, yeah.
Please don't let that show go away. I know there's a lot of like contractual stuff happening right now. Like, please do not let that show. Although it would be something if, like, because that show ends after the Western Conference Finals. It would be something if, like, Anthony Edwards was the one to sunset inside the NBA on TNT as we know it.
What's the budget like? Can we get him on this show?
We got Grady, we got Jim P, we got Kyle, we got...
You can send me an artist home.
Right. We'll go home. Give him the platform for the day.
I want to see if our guy Ben is in here. Ben, you got us, man?
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Okay, so I just want to say, I want to start out this by saying this. It is officially time to put to bed the Rudy Gobert trade was a failure. It's time to stop that. Like, that looked like Defensive Player of the Year work on the court with Rudy Gobert right there. Like, yes, he only had 4 points, but like, Jokic had like 26 or 29 points today. It felt like all those points were so difficult for him. Mm-hmm. Like the left-handed and one, like that's you had the high degree of difficulty was ridiculous. So it is officially time to stop the Rudy Gobert trade was a failure. This trade worked for the Wolves. Oh, and by the way, they got Mike Conley with it too. We can talk forever about Ant. Ant was fantastic, but the Wolves do not win this game without Rudy Gobert, period.
Amen.
Like, that's the kind of impact he was having. That's the kind of impact he had on the court for this team. And the Wolves don't – I would like the Wolves to win the second game. They don't have to. But, yeah, if the Wolves win the second game, this series isn't going back to Denver. It's over.
Wow, dude. I love it. one of the OG Ventline callers. The other thing, too, that the Rudy Gobert trade did – was it expedited how competitive this team was going to be in the short term. And Anthony Edwards is thrust into some games and situations in the postseason that maybe he wouldn't have been thrust into. Maybe the team around him wouldn't have been good enough to be holding its own against, you know, Denver, Phoenix, and those types of teams. And so you get Anthony Edwards at age 20, instead of having to wait till he's 24 or 25 to have a loaded team that goes into the second, maybe third round of the playoffs, he gets all of this when he's 22. He's already playoff battle tested at the age of 22, 23, 24. He's like 4 years away, you guys, from being the peak version of whatever he's going to become. That's the crazy thing.
Not even close at the moment. Just scratching the surface. And like when they brought in Rudy, I'm not going to lie. I was down on it. I was down on it.
I was going to stay in Mexico, artist. Yeah. Like, you're good. We're fine. We're on the same
page. Okay, cool. Like, because I was like, yeah, I don't know. We hadn't seen two bigs work like that on the floor in a while. We all saw Rudy Gobert in the playoffs before. But I didn't take into account at that time the perimeter defense being much different out here in Minnesota. And that's ultimately the biggest difference. That's easily the biggest difference. So now you just see him being effective and playing like, you know, transferring regular season Gobert into the playoffs. And that's been something he really hasn't been able to do at this level, but now he's doing it and doing it at a high level and making Jokic or facilitating and making Jokic not be as efficient, you know. But that's credit to Nas and Kat, I feel like. That's credit to all of the bigs.
Tim Conley.
And them not double teaming and giving him open passes and, you know, because that gets him in rhythm as well. He's pass first.
Mm-hmm. To Artis's point, he had 7 turnovers tonight.
Yeah,
you don't really see that. Go look at his box score game log from any game this season. 3-4 max, but it's always like 3-1, 4-1 assist to turnover ratio. Tonight it was like a little 1.1-1. So, but Tim Connelly, man, to Artis's point, the Rudy Gobert trade right? The Mike Conley stuff, the Nikhil stuff, signing Kyle Anderson, Tim Connolly built essentially the team that won the title that's on the other end of the floor. Then he came to Minnesota and just built another team that has a chance. Again, long series, ethical hoops. Mm-hmm. This could go a while.
Okay.
But he's building a team now to basically defeat the super team, superheroes that he helped build before that. So shout out to Tim.
Can I ask you guys a quick question? I've heard this and I want to pose it to you guys. I don't know if you guys have said it or not, but it's been thrown out there. Do you believe this is really the Western Conference Finals? Like whoever gets out of this series is going to the finals?
Curious to hear Kyle's answer. I have a take.
I think mine's going to be more reserved and like not as fun for like TikTok videos, and Phil's is just going to come out 400 degrees. I think OKC is good, and I think Dallas, for what they've discovered with their defensive kind of wings, Derek Jones Jr., some of the guys they got at the trade deadline. But I do think that the winner of this will ultimately come out of the West, because the size and the questions you had about like Minnesota, it's like they're answering them, right? Artists, like, it's not, they're not immature anymore. You're not worried about them closing. A big question coming into all this was like their offense. Of the 16 teams in the first round, they had the highest offensive rating at 123.2. Like, it's just, I literally spend every waking moment of my job hanging out with my wife of like trying to be like, what could go wrong? Like, what do you poke holes in? And we're 2 weeks into this and it's like, I don't know. The head coach has one leg and they still find ways to outsmart and outcoach the team. So I'm with you, I think whoever comes out of this will ultimately have gained enough reps and experience and kind of defeated the younger brother, the tough cousin, and will make it to June basketball.
It's a hard yes. This is absolutely the Western Conference Finals. Okay. And I say that with all due respect to Oklahoma City is going to be around for like 10 years if they can. I don't know if they can keep everyone together. But, I mean, that team is literally filled with just a bunch of kids. I mean, who's the oldest player in their starting lineup? 24? Right. 25 years old? So I think the NBA, there is like a certain level of experience and a certain level of, you have to sort of take your lump and then get sent to the back of the line. And where the Wolves are a little bit of a cheat code is they've adopted two core players in Rudy Gobert and Mike Conley that spent a decade and a half taking their playoff lumps already. Like, they already have like a free pass to say, oh, we've already done this whole take our lumps for 5 years thing. So we're going to get a pass to the front of the line on this. So if Oklahoma City gets through, I don't trust their experience level to beat a team like Denver or the Timberwolves getting out of this series. And then I know Dallas is a better version post trade deadline. They made some nice moves. Mm-hmm. So, and Dallas is a much better defensive team than people thought going into the season. But anytime I keep going back to last year, Kyrie and Luka couldn't get a shot off in the last 24 seconds. It was a regular season game against Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards. I think if you're reliant on two high usage isolation players, I think you're going to lose to the Timberwolves. So I think it's fair to say that of the teams remaining, Denver is the toughest opponent, and vice versa. The Timberwolves are the toughest opponent for Denver. It doesn't mean you're sweeping whoever you play in the Western Conference Finals, but for both teams in this series, this is the toughest opponent they will play until the NBA Finals. Yes.
Yeah, I have the same take. I've heard it, and I'm like, I want to see what they think, because I've had the same thought for a while, and I've wanted this matchup for so long, because I've always been like, if there's a team in the West that can knock off Denver, it would be the Wolves because of how they match up. So I'm feeling the same way, and I just think the confidence is going to be so high going into a conference finals, especially if you win in five or even you win in six. Any way you can win this series without it going seven, win this series in general, the confidence is going to be high, but it's going to be even higher if you win it, you know, before seven. So I like their chances. The only team I was a little nervous about was the Clippers before they got eliminated. I'm like, if they're healthy, maybe. Ty Lue, Kawhi, Paul George, James Harden, maybe. I could kind of see them giving them a hard time. But they're out. you have a lot of guys that you can match up against, you know, Kyrie and Luka. So I like that matchup. I don't think they have many answers for Ant. That's going to be a problem. And OKC, I don't like their size inside. You know, I like Chet a lot. I think he's a great player, great young player. I think they need a real big. I think they need a real center. like a Steven Adams type of big man to, you know, help him space the floor a little better so he's not required to guard a Karl Anthony Towns or a Rudy Gobert. I think they dominate the paint, you know, in that type of matchup. So that's why, that's why I brought the question up, because I think if they can get out of this series, I'm thinking we're going to the finals.
Dude, I think we're going to the finals. It's hard not to feel a certain type of way after watching the way, like the way that that game was won was not a fluke. The way that the Suns series was won was not a fluke. It's going to be, everything is going to be hard for whoever plays the Timberwolves when they are this locked in and engaged defensively. Like getting to 100 points is going to be hard for whoever plays against this defense. So,
do you know what the coolest thing about that game was? Just, I was in Phoenix, right? I watched them close out in game four. A lot of commotion behind the scenes, locker room, all that stuff. And Tim Connelly grabbed, there's a photo. Tim with his arms around Carl and Ant walking back, and you can hear the video where Tim's like, "You guys were so mature tonight. Like, do you get that? Like, do you see how important maturity is?" And we talked to Tim after in a little huddle, and he was like, "How mature were those guys tonight?" They just, like Artis said earlier, they finally get the monkey off their back. They get to the second round for the first time in 20 years. I know this is going to probably sound kind of lame, but I think I would have been okay if they dropped this game. Just from a sense of, like, you got to go to Denver, adjust to the altitude. Your head coach has one leg.
Like, you're saying it would have been good for them to, like, take that medicine? Or
I think I would have been like, yeah, they lost to the defending champs at home in game one because, you know, they were maybe still enjoying their own scent from sweeping the Suns and all that stuff. And instead, they clearly were mature to come out and punch them straight in the face, right? Like 16-4, they had a big first quarter. And then the Nuggets did what the Nuggets do, because they have a banner, is like, we're going to respond. And if you watch that game, or if you watch the timeline, it felt like the Wolves were down 15. They never let it get beyond, I think, 6 maybe at any point. And they just, at the end of the games, you know, everything that was a bugaboo for this team all 82, you know, late game execution, composure, all that stuff, it doesn't exist right now. And it might pop up. Like, I don't know if they're going to go 16-0 in these playoffs, but every time you think, like, oh, here we go again, the floor is going to fall out, they just level up again and again and again. And that's why, to Artis' point, like, maybe this is a Western Conference Finals, because the only thing this team really had a question mark about it was, when you make the Gobert trade, can Anthony Edwards, who's 22, play like he's 27?
And he is.
Yeah.
What a fun night, you guys. We can put a wrap on this episode here. This live Flagrant Howls on the Score North YouTube channel. And we're going to be doing this for pretty much every single game. And then we've got Michael Grady in the mix now every single week on Flagrant Howls until they're out of the playoffs. Jim Pete has been on the show for 2 months. He will continue throughout the rest of the playoffs. So Flagrant Howls. And then shout out to Dane Moore's NBA podcast, where you can also find Kyle, friend of the show. Just final takes from you guys. Artists, just... anything else that you want to throw out there before we say goodbye?
I'm gonna stick to Wolves in six. I think this game gives me a ton of confidence that they will win this series. I still believe that. I just think they match up perfectly with the Nuggets. I'm curious to see if the injuries kind of pile up on that side, because again, I think Jamal is kind of ailing a bit, and as this series progresses and as they continue to be physical with him, who knows how that goes. But I expect Denver to respond. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Sure.
But what I will say is they are in a little bit of trouble early. And I think, you know, to your point, Kyle, I think that you didn't really expect them to win this first game, but this was a great punch, a great opening punch. You never want to be that fighter that gets hit first and now you're in recovery mode. What should I do next? They threw the first punch, and now it's up to Denver to make the adjustments. But you're going back home with the advantage, whether you lose or win the next game. So, Wolves in six.
No two people have to give Denver more props and credit than Phil and I. Because last year, Artis, right before the playoffs started, we called them Purdue.
Well, you called them Purdue. I called them a fake one seed.
Yeah, and then Artis, spoiler alert, they won the title. So
right.
I know, like I said, I have the ultimate respect for them. I still think they have, right now, at this exact moment, the best player in the league. I think they're well coached. They have a lot of guys. They will respond. There is, in my mind, just like momentum is real, championship pedigree is real. Mm-hmm. I think they will regroup. But with that said, man, I look at a box score where Anthony Edwards did his thing and did the Kobe stuff. I didn't see a lot of guys join him at the party. Nikhil was bad, Jaden was bad, and those guys are probably going to rebound. So I'm with you still. My prediction was Wolves in six. But I don't think that this team is going to come out on Monday and just be like, we got one, we're good. Again, to that maturity point, Denver has to come ready to play. Mm-hmm. Their title defense is kind of on the line. But I'm with Artis. Phil, you'll love this. But like Ric Flair said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Mm-hmm. And I think this team can beat the man.
Woo!
Wolves in six.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think, I guess my final take here is this team has on a whiteboard the number of games left until they win a championship. Before the game, they had a giant number 12 on the whiteboard of the visiting locker room in Denver. They crossed it off and they put 11 on that board. That's not a franchise. That's not a team, I guess, that's worried about like 35 years of franchise failure. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chris Finch got annoyed at that question a few days ago. Like, well, what's it like carrying around all this failure? And he's just like, I don't know. I just got here like 3 years ago. I wasn't a part of anything that happened before 2021. And so I think it's interesting that this team isn't just thinking about, oh, it's a magic carpet ride. We just beat the Suns and now it's a free roll into the second round. They're literally crossing off the number of games until they win the championship. They are thinking championship. And maybe it's time for everybody else who watches this team to start thinking the same thing. As weird as it is, if you've been following this team for 35 years, that's what they're thinking about inside that locker room right now.
Overtime take. If you're still listening to the stream, thank you to everyone that supports us and supports artists and supports Phil. Look down. Look where your feet are. Be in the moment for a second. Because this team is cool. But Anthony, I mean, I'm serious. I talked about this with Dane a little bit off mic. Like, if this is the next Michael Jordan, if this is the next Kobe Bryant, like we all have, I bought a house, right? And interest rates are through the roof. Right. But we all have houses at like 2% interest rates as Anthony Edwards fans and being here for the whole thing. Like we were in on this first. We're at the front of the bandwagon. We're sitting courtside for the Ant Show. Everyone else is filling in behind us. Rewatch this game. Watch all the clips. Go on TikTok. Lose all your data. This kid, if he's as good as people are starting to think nationally, that's kind of life changing for us, right? Like that, yeah. Phil, like you've covered some athletes of that stature in Minnesota. If this kid at 22 is as good as people think, that changes your life. I know that sounds deep, like that's big time.
Yeah. And again, like I've always been an Anthony Edwards stan. I'll just speak for myself. And even I, up until the playoffs, have had a really hard time with these MJ Kobe comparisons because why would you make those comparisons? But you're watching it. You're literally watching him play like those guys on both ends of the court, the look in his eye, everything. And so we'll see. Game two in a couple 48 hours.
Adjustments.
See what happens. Yep. See what happens in game two. So awesome, guys. Appreciate you hanging out with us, both Kyle and Artis. And all the audience here, the people who jumped on to hang out with us on this impromptu Wolves vent line. If you haven't already, again, please click that like button and the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel. You can get alerted when we go live here for these playoff postgame shows. But enjoy the rest of your night, gentlemen. Be responsible and enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we'll see what happens in game two. This is Flagrant Howls, a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.